Okay, let's open our Bibles to Romans, please. Romans chapter 12. This is where I want to start. We're going to continue with some things regarding the body of Christ. And, and all of this sort of keys off of what we did at family camp this year, which is the gospel. The gospel regarding Jesus Christ. And, and there's just so much to understanding that gospel and what it is Jesus Christ accomplishes. There's just no way you can cover it all. So I really, though, think it'll be beneficial and very profitable to spend some time with some of these things regarding the one body. And again, we're going to look at verses that I think are really familiar to all of us. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at some today that we read just a couple of weeks ago. But it's going to be a little different. We're going to fill in a few things, and so I think it'll bless you. A couple of weeks ago, we considered Jesus Christ as Lord, and read that section in Corinthians where Paul and company, he said, "We preach not ourselves, but who?"
Christ.
That's right, Christ Jesus the Lord. He's Lord. God made him Lord. We'll read a little bit about that today again. And then last week, we considered some truths regarding Jesus Christ as what? As head of the body. And holding him as head. In Colossians 2, we saw where there were those who were endeavoring to bring in secondary things to Christ into that one body. Things pertaining to the flesh. Where you have another standard other than Christ. See? Christ is the standard. That's it. And that's what God's given to be believed, which is what we're going to look at today. In Ephesians, we saw that we're filled with His fullness. In Philippians, we consider that our full sharing is in the gospel of Christ, or the gospel regarding Jesus Christ. And then we closed in Romans 15 and sort of got a little glimpse of what it looks like when we hold Christ as head of the body, where we with one mouth, right? Remember that? Glorify Him. And that like-mindedness is on Christ. It's regarding Christ. It's regarding who Christ is. It's regarding who we are in Christ. And we're going to see today, as we look at some things regarding this one body, that we're all individuals, but we're one body. We're all members, individual members of this one body, but we're members one of another. Isn't that something? It's just a remarkable, remarkable truth that sits like a diamond, what we're a part of. So I wanted to begin here in Romans chapter 12. I was talking to Deb yesterday. And I just said, when I read Romans 12, now it used to be, when I'd start in verse 1, I always thought in terms of the renewed mind. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that. But when I read it now, I think Romans 12, beginning with verse 1, is one of the greatest chapters on the one body in God's Word. Because this is where it begins. Where God has set what He set in Romans leading up to this. What's been accomplished in Christ. The righteousness of God has come. We're righteous before Him. The last Adam and how he, conquered sin. Not the sinner. He defeated sin. Isn't that something? And we are under that law of life and liberty in Christ. There's therefore now no condemnation. All of these great truths. And then Romans 12 opens with, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." And, just real briefly, I love this because it's that sacrificial language of the Old Testament. Where they would bring a sacrifice, and they would, you know, slay that sacrifice, the blood, so on, that double transfer. But here it's yourselves. You bring yourselves as a what? Living sacrifice. That's right. And really, this is the practical side of what it talks about in Romans 6. We are now alive unto God. Isn't that something? So, we present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, your logical service. It just makes sense because it's who we are. And be not conformed to this age. Okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect or mature will of God. Okay. And I just want to take a moment here with this not being conformed to this age. In verse 1, we read presenting self as a living sacrifice. In verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to this age. Now, we know from other scriptures that the god of this age is Satan, the devil. You know, this is his stuff. This age and the wisdom of this age and the thinking of this age is contrary to Christ. And really, it's really all about self. Even its giving is all about self. It's charitable acts. It's really something when you just lay it bare. I'm not saying that, you know, to give is that's great, but it works its way around to self in some way, where you have, you know, and I don't know why I'm zeroing in on this, but it's just an example where you have these wonderful charitable organizations competing with one another. What's wrong with this picture? Do you understand? It's just even these subtle things. It really is just all about self. Okay? And what we're reading here in Romans 12 is the exact opposite. It is not about self. That's what we're going to see. I offer myself as a living sacrifice. I don't want to be conformed to this age. That means it's thinking, it's wisdom, the way it does things, which is contrary to Christ. But I'm transformed by the newing up of my mind. And it's going to go on to talk about this. Proving or putting to the test that good and acceptable and perfect or mature will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Now this grace that is mentioned, because we're going to see some grace words. This is charis, I think. There's one coming up that's charisma or charismata. These are all grace words. The grace that's being spoken of here in verse 3 is the grace that is specific to Paul. And it is by that grace given to him that he is writing what he's writing here by revelation for us. Do you understand? So by that grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. To think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. See. Now, with this verse, we are getting into the how. Into the how of, or how of how we do the what. I guess it's kind of a silly way to put it. One, we're not to think beyond what we ought to think, which is soberly, and it's according as God has given the measure of believing to every man. That measure of believing is believing is being put here for that which has been given to be believed. You see it in Acts too. where he's given assurance or believing unto all men regarding Christ. That standard of believing is Christ. That's what God's given to be believed. Earlier in Romans, the righteousness of God is what? Who could tell me? Oh, please, you got to know this. The righteousness of God is who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. That's the justice, the righteousness of God. I believe on him, and I'm righteous before him. That which God has given to be believed is who? Jesus Christ. That's the standard. There is no other standard. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. There's no other way. It's Christ. Okay? Christ. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, and he's the standard or that which has been given to be believed. We're not to think beyond that. Isn't that something? So that's part of the how that's being revealed here of what we're going to read as we continue on in Romans chapter 12. Hope I'm not confusing you. Verse 4. For as, or even as, we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or function. The word for office is a word that means it's translated acts, it's praxis, but it's ways, it's function, it's ways of doing. Okay? Many members, well, let's read it. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function, so we, being many, or the many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. What is being emphasized here is one body. Many members, but what?
One body.
Right. Many ways, but what? One body. Isn't that something? Many members, but one body. And those members in that one body are members one of another. See? Because the standard given is who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. See? We're one body. We are in Christ. This is his body. Verse 5, or verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Okay? Now we're talking about gifts or gifts of grace. This is another grace word. And then it goes on to talk about this. Prophecy. Whether prophecy. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of believing. Or ministry. Let us wait or get busy ministering is what it means. He that teaches, teach. He that exhorts, do it. Exhort. He that gives, let it be genuine. That's that word simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, we're laying out different examples of these gifts that are given in the one body. Many ways of serving. Everybody has a different way of serving. But it's what?
One body.
One body. Now, what I want to point out here is the emphasis here in Romans 12 is the how. It's the how. The standard is who? Jesus Christ. Right? That's right. We're to think soberly. Not to think beyond that which God has given to be believed. That's all part of the how. Then we have these examples of ways of serving, these different gifts or ministries in the body of Christ. Now we're going to continue with the how. All right? And it goes, and it says, love without what?
Hypocrisy.
Okay. We're continuing with the how. We do this. How we do that which we do in this body of Christ. Okay. Do you follow?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to consider in a little bit, we're going to go to Ephesians 4. And we read a little bit from that earlier, a couple weeks ago, I think it was. But there's a big difference between what is emphasized here in Romans 12 as compared to what we're going to see in Ephesians 4. Here, it's the how we operate that which we've been given. In Ephesians, it's the effects produced. See? And so you have examples of a specific effect produced. Hence, how it is stated in Ephesians, as opposed to how it's stated here in Romans 12. You following?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Love without hypocrisy. This is how. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to the good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And that basically just means being aware of one another's value. We're part of this body of Christ. Each one of us is in Christ. You know, later on in Romans, it talks about receiving one another as Christ received us. Isn't that neat? And if we're being instructed to do this, we must have the ability, we must have the capacity to do this very thing. We do. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, or fervent in the things of the Spirit. Serving the Lord. Verse 12, I love this. Rejoicing in the hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in the prayer. It's kind of neat. That's wrong. It's continuing instant in prayer. And that continuing it means to give persistent attention to prayer. See? This is the how of carrying out what we do in this wonderful body of Christ. Do you think prayer has an effect? Oh, members one of another. That's a big part of it, is prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality, take care of one another. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thy own conceits. Really, when you boil that down, just be humble. We'll read about that in a minute in Ephesians. Be humble. Who's our Lord?
Jesus.
See, I'm not wise in my own conceits. I don't want to think beyond what God has given me, which is Christ. And what I have in Christ, and who I am in Christ, and who you are in Christ. See? And then I'm seeing how to walk this thing. And it's to love without hypocrisy. It's to be tenderly affectionate one to another. It's to see one another's value. These are all the things that go on to make this one body work the way that it's designed to work. See? Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, this is so great. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto, and it should read, the wrath. You know, there's a day coming. There is much injustice right now, isn't there? I'm sure there is. But you know, it looks like the justice of God is sleeping right now. It won't always look like that. It just won't. And that day is coming, and that justice will be perfect. Any justice that we endeavor to, to carry out falls far short of what God's going to do. Right? Yeah, so we give way. And I love it because that little section, because sometimes it's just, you know? But this little snippet here opens with, oh, dearly beloved. Isn't that beautiful? You know, we are dearly beloved of God. And that God in whom we are dearly beloved, or by whom we are dearly beloved, is saying, just let me take care of it. See? Isn't that something? Then furthermore, it goes on to say, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, which means to warm him. You guys understand that idiom, that Orientalism, rather, where you just warm him. And then it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
With good. See? And this is the good. This is the good that we can do and that we do because of that Spirit of God that we have born within. See? And that we can walk with that love. We can reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. And we reflect it to the world. But you know what? We do that among one another too when we walk this way. And so this is the how that these things that God has given in this body of Christ, each one of us being a member in particular, having a gift, something to carry out, something that we walk with, that God has given. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. See? And each one of us plays a vital part. But here, again, it's concerned with the how of doing it. And really, it's just loving without hypocrisy. Now, we're going to go to Ephesians, but I want to stop on the way to 1 Corinthians. We're just going to read a small portion of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I imagine in the weeks to come, we're going to come back here. And I want to start in verse 1. And it says, now concerning things of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, it's that word that means things of the Spirit, or spiritual matters is another way you could understand it. Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, or the heart of it is truly say, but by Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same what? Now, what is being addressed here is the idea of exalting one way of serving above another. Exalting a man above other men. I know we considered this a couple weeks ago, but we're going to consider it again. Because by God, that just seems to be a weakness of people, doesn't it? You know? And maybe God has set these things in his word because he's somehow aware of our tendency to maybe want to compete, maybe want to compare, right? Yeah. So he's setting some wonderful, wonderful truths here. And what had happened in Corinth, you know, we just read in Romans. Look at, you know, gifts, boom, just do it, do it, do it. But this is how you do it. Christ is the standard. Love without hypocrisy. Prefer one, honor one another, be aware of each other's value, live peaceably with all men, brotherly kindness, right? That's how we do it. Well, what had happened in Corinth is they kind of got away from that. And all of a sudden it was, hey, wow, I want to do that. Ooh, man, you hear that guy? I'm going to follow him. You ever hear such a thing? And so that's what's beginning to be addressed here. Well, actually, it was being addressed prior to chapter 12. But we're getting down to some specifics here. So it's the same Spirit. Many ways of serving, but it's what? One Spirit. One. diversities of operations. And that means this word operations is effects produced. There are diversities of effects produced. But it's the what? Same God. Same God. See? I tell you, man, when I'm crushed and I'm in the throes of condemnation for something, and what I need is mercy, I don't want to sit and listen to a teacher. Do you understand? It's kind of a silly thing to say, but I think it communicates. See? And God supplies these things in that one body. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what we're reading about here. See? Anyway. Same God. Verse 7. Verse 6. And there are diversities. I skipped one, didn't I? Verse 5. And there are differences of administrations or ministries, ways of serving, but the same what? Same Lord, see? So you've got the same Spirit, you've got the same Lord, and the same God. Isn't that something? The standard is who? Christ. That's the standard. See? Now, we're going to stop there, here in 12, and we'll come back here some other time. But I want you to go to Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 4. We read a little bit of this chapter. I think it was last week. Truthing the truth in love. Well, we're going to go there again, but we're going to fill it in a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4. Similar to what we considered in Romans, Ephesians 1 through 3, you know, all that which God has done in Christ and what we have, because that's in a nutshell, because of what God has accomplished in Christ. So chapter 4 begins the practical. Okay, here's what we do. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, kind of similar to what we read in Romans, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Here it's, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy, you walk in balance with that calling wherewith you've been called. With all lowliness, that word lowliness is humility, with all humility and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another or holding one another up in love with great humility, great meekness. Isn't that something? Endeavoring to keep or to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that unity is what God has given. We've been reading about it. Who's the standard? Jesus Christ. See? The how of doing what we do is love. We read in Corinthians, it's one Lord, one God, same Spirit, right? At least our same Spirit, same God, same Lord, regardless of the ways of serving. See? That unity of the Spirit is what God has given. It is not a manufactured unity. It is not a flesh unity. It is what God has given. And then it goes on to kind of describe this that God has given. There is what? One body. One Spirit. As you were called in what? One hope. We all have the same hope. We've all got the same Spirit. We've all are in the same body. One Lord, one faith, one believing, one baptism, that Spirit, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and what? In you all. 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 You know what the beauty of this and the real simplicity here is? It's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one God, Father of all, same Spirit, same Lord, same God, one standard. You start to get the idea that there's no segregation in the body of Christ. Right? That the only standard is Christ. That's it. So it's with these things in mind that we continue to read here in Ephesians chapter 4. But unto every or each one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us. We read a little bit about that in Romans. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity, or they who captivate, or that which captivates, he led it captive. It's kind of neat because really the understanding of it is he led that which captivates prisoner. He made a prisoner of it. Now watch this. This is so cool. You got a little insertion here, which we'll read, and then I'm going to read. Well, I'll just do what I'm going to do. Verse 9 begins that little insertion. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended. The word first is not in any critical Greek text. So it would read, now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all. So, and what this insertion is explaining is really Christ, in that he died and was buried, was raised, and is alive at the right hand of God. Hence, he is Lord both of the dead and of the living, that he might fill all. Isn't that something? He is a complete Lord, a complete Savior. There ain't nothing left. He's it. Really. Then it says verse 11, but I want to read verse 8 again. Wherefore, he says when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, or prisoner, and gave gifts unto men. Now, this word gifts, it's a little different word, and it's speaking of the benefit or the effect produced by the gift. We're speaking in terms of him leading captive that which captivates. He took it prisoner, and then he did this. See? And that's what we're now going to discuss. Isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful? All right. And he gave some. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Okay? Now, he is listing these five ministries or gifts or ways of serving in light of an effect produced. The context being those things that captivate. You following? Four, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are effects produced. Then verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the believing and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness or the full-grown Christ. Okay. Isn't that something? So, Christ, Jesus Christ, who led captivity captive, has given ways of serving to produce these effects that we're reading about. verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children or infants, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Winds of doctrine lead people captive, don't they? And the effect of these examples of ministries that are listed here help to prevent that. Doctrine. Isn't that something? It's a big deal. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See? It's really something, these ways of serving or these gifts that are listed here. It's to help people to mature, to help with this knitting together of the body, which we're going to read about. And to prevent or to help guard against being blown about by winds of doctrine. And then it comes to, but rather than being blown about by these winds of doctrine, speaking the truth in love, or truthing the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him, which is the head, even what? Even Christ. Isn't that something? See? Truthing the truth in love. It's really beautiful. Maybe in the week to come we'll spend a little more time with some of this. But, you know, off the top of my head, I'm thinking about, you know, one of the gifts that's listed here is pastors. You know, 1 Peter talks about that. He talks about that in chapter 5. And it's to be examples among the flock. Examples of truthing the truth. So that men are not led captive. So people are not led captive. You know, by the adversary and his wiles. By winds of doctrine. Isn't that beautiful? So you see this in this section. Its emphasis is effects produced. See? It's just beautiful. Truthing the truth, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted or knit together by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of each part. There are no throwaways in the body of Christ. Each one is worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that is a mature view of this body of Christ, this one body. Makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, isn't that something? And we're not going to keep reading, but I want to read the next verse. And this I say, therefore, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. In Romans 12, it was don't be conformed. Right? To this world. Here it's walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of what?
Of their mind.
See? That's that flesh. That's what that flesh wants to do. To take that which is given by grace and then segregate. Which is what happened in Corinth. Now, have you ever seen such a thing? Happened in Corinth. See? That's right. I'm going to close in Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to look at a couple places where this knitting is used. This word knitting. Knitting together. It's used in two places here in Colossians 2. It's beautiful. Verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together, that's that word, knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance. It's and that full assurance is that complete assurance of understanding. Isn't that beautiful? To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And it should read, regarding or concerning Christ. In whom, Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That their hearts might be knit together. And then it's used again down here in verse 19, I believe. And we read this the other day, or last week. Verse 19, you remember this? And not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, or which is supplied through and united through joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, knit together, increases with the increase of God. That's that word. See? It's really something. It's one Lord, one faith, one God, one Father of all, one body, one hope, one Spirit. In Corinthians, it was same Spirit, it was same Lord, and it was same God. In Romans, it's that which has been given to be believed. There's one measure, and that measure is Christ. That's what's to be believed. In Ephesians 4, really, the understanding of it is that rather than segregating and separating those gifts listed in Ephesians 4 and segregating those out from all other gifts in the one body is a misunderstanding of what is being handled and taught in Ephesians 4. The how of what we all do is to walk in love. Is to love without hypocrisy. And the effects produced as we walk in love and carry out that which God has given us to do in this one body, by God, they'll be carried out. Because who's the head? That's right. Move out of the way. Ha! See? We just walk in love. All right? All right.